Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
More than is predictable, they've seen it happen.
And one story that always kind of captures my imagination.
The streets lost culture.
And you're listening to Kerning Cultures.
And the question is, where we were last time?
Where we were last time. So I think you were...
Last time on Kerning Cultures, we left Aizen, an Afghan teenager, in Turkey attempting to cross into Bulgaria. He was beaten, stripped naked, and ransacked of all his belongings. A warning before we continue, this episode contains references to violence and self-harm. If you're around kids or you're not into that kind of thing, consider skipping this one. My other note to you is that this is part 3 of a 4-part series. And if you haven't heard the first and second episode, I would go back and listen to those because it'll help you understand this episode a lot better.
They say it's like 8-9 hours walking you will be in the Bulgaria. 13 days. Walk 13 days. I don't know how I survive. People who had food, a lot of food, they finish everything. We were all dying.
With such little sustenance and no turning back, Aizen relied on this one drink that a lot of us have heard of.
That's why I love Red Bull. You know, you get tired. Drink one. Boom. Energy. I don't know how. You feel like, go, I can walk more. After 2, 3, 4 hours, again, boom, refresh. Best thing ever.
In case you missed that, it's none other than Red Bull. Before we go back into Aizen's story, we're going to go back in time, about 100 years ago. And we want to tell you about a guy named Sirdar Iqbal Ali Shah. You won't find much online about him, maybe a few photographs, but his story is mostly left behind by the digital age. Ali Shah was Afghan, born in 1894. And as a young man in the 1910s, he left Afghanistan and traveled to Scotland, where he studied medicine at the University of Edinburgh. And back then, travel for an Afghan like Ali Shah was easier. It was admired and sometimes even welcome. Imagine that. Ali Shah married a Scottish woman and became an author, writing more than 70 books, books on Islam, politics, culture, and his travels. He was also a skilled diplomat, and he became the personal advisor and confidant of several leaders, big-time leaders like Kemal Ataturk of Turkey, King Abdullah of Jordan, King Ibn Saud, the founder of Saudi Arabia, King Zog of Albania, the Aga Khan. The roster is quite impressive. He gained a reputation as a kingmaker, moving in royal circles, crisscrossing Europe and the Middle East and Afghanistan. 100 years ago, this kind of long-distance travel was slow, but pretty straightforward. You would go overland from Afghanistan to Mumbai and then catch a ship to Europe. Surprisingly, and maybe unsurprisingly, 100 years ago, borders were more permeable and pliable. It was a time before we designed systems and hierarchies controlling who can travel and who can't. And thinking about the legacy of Ali Shah, an Afghan who had the opportunity to travel, to get an education, and even find love and gain influence, you can't help but think of modern-day Afghans, stripped of that chance to be someone renowned like Ali Shah. Today, for Afghans trying to get to Europe, the story is completely different. Fortress Europe, as it's often referred to, is building new fences, pouring more and more money into border patrols, and militarizing its edges. And what a shame that is. Ali Shah died in 1969. He was hit by a reversing Coca-Cola truck. Decades later, there would be Aizen, a teenager with a different kind of legacy. And fueled, of course, by Red Bull. This is Aizen, the most unlucky person in the world. Part 3, King of Serbia. Producer Al Shaibani takes it from here.
It was May 2019 and the middle of the holy month of Ramadan. After that first attempt to cross into Europe, Aizen tried again a couple of days later. With a group of about 25 refugees, he walked through forests along the Turkish-Bulgarian border to reach a point that wasn't monitored. There, they scaled two very high barbed wire fences, using a ladder their smuggler provided, and got into Bulgaria.
A really huge forest. You cannot see, like at night, you cannot see like 10 centimeters off in your front. It's so dark. You have to hold each other backs to not lose the way.
And there's a smuggler with you?
Yeah, he's in the front. He said to you from the beginning, if you stay behind, I'm not gonna come back.
After 13 days, the group was out of food completely and relied on streams in the forest for water. Then they were picked up by another smuggler who took them to a house where they were told to hide and wait. They stayed there for 2 days. No food, no going out, just waiting. Anxious about being caught by the Bulgarian border police. Finally, the smuggler brought them some sandwiches.
We didn't eat for 2 days because they didn't want the police to catch us. The time that he brought us food, we took the food, he went, the police came. Like how? So we know that he called the police. Like there's no other way. How the police know that we are here? Nobody go out, nothing. So we were inside the city, we were all scared that they were sending us back to Turkey. They took us to a police station, they took fingerprints and stuff. And he was like, okay, where are you from? I was like, Afghanistan. He was like, no. Like, what do you mean, no?
Here we go again. Questions and confusion about the way Aizen looks followed him everywhere he went.
He took me to a room. He was like, no, he looked Russian. He speak Russian with me. I was like, Alan, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Then the guy says, okay, wait. Call the translator. So the translator was telling me that he's saying that he don't look like Afghans. Where are you from? Don't make trouble for me as well. I was like, what do you mean don't make trouble? I'm from Afghanistan. They took our fingerprints and stuff. And they took me to this open camp.
Like, okay.
In Sofia. The camp called Vinarampa. A really weird camp.
Vinarampa is on the northern edge of Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria. It's a refugee center mostly for minors, and it was a grimy camp. The food was particularly bad, bread and boiled potatoes. And food was a particular challenge at this time, because it was Ramadan and Aizen and some of the Muslim refugees he was with were fasting. It was also a particular challenge because, just like every place they'd been in before, they weren't exactly welcomed.
I went to this mosque that we go every night So it was a mosque far away from the camp that you go for iftar. Muslim people do the iftar, they come back. We did the iftar. We came back. We were waiting in the bus stop, like we had 10 guys or 8 guys, 9. Okay. A group of 5 people came with knives, with chains and stuff. I don't know what they were saying. So I was like, what do you want? I was trying to speak English. Like, what do you want?
One of these guys tapped Aizen on the shoulder and pointed behind him. His friends were all sprinting away.
So he attacked with the knife. Like, the knives went to my clothes. And it didn't touch my body. I was so lucky. Like, I don't know how this happened. I punched this guy and run.
So, how old were they? Like,
they were old.
Old?
Yeah, like 19, 21, something like this. Okay. Like, older than us. So I run this side and they're all following me.
It's hard to confirm these details, but Aizen told me that this group started attacking him. One guy had a long chain which he whipped in Aizen's direction. It wrapped around his neck and pulled him down to the ground.
They start kicking me with their feet. stand again, punch one, run. They're following me. Ow, I don't know how I run. I was so quick. Like, I didn't even look my back. If they are coming, I would have just pew. So when I look my back, I can't see anyone. Oh, like, good. And then I saw a girl standing there and I speak with her English. Fortunately, she was speaking English. Or like, these guys attacked me. When you call the police, they were like, even if I call the police will not help you. The police are standing there and I saw what happened to you, but they don't care.
The bystander took Aizen to a shop nearby, bought him some water to wash the blood off his neck, and told him to wait inside. Once the bus that would take Aizen back to the camp arrived, she told him to get on board quickly.
So we arrived to the camp. I still to the police say, I don't care. Why you left the camp? Don't go outside. Or like, I'm fasting, I'm going to eat there. What do you want me to eat in this camp? They were like, I don't care. And I'm so angry. Like, so angry. Don't even talk to me.
The next morning, Aizen filed a formal complaint to the local police. The translator who helped him write this said he was attacked because he looked Russian and advised him to stay inside the camp. Despite how he described that racist attack, as if it was a scene from an anime fight, Aizen was deeply affected by it, assaulted with knives and chains in a country where he was alone and didn't know anyone. And whenever things became tough, he would go back to his first love, football.
So I didn't go out of the camp because I was kind of scared for 2 days. So after 2 days, my Kurdish friend came and said, oh, don't stay here a lot. You will find mental health problem and stuff. Let's go play football. I'm like, okay. We go outside. Two guys, knife in the hand. They're looking at me and doing like this.
Here, Aizen gestured the middle finger.
What the hell is wrong with you? I haven't done anything. Then I decided, I was like, no, I don't want to stay in Bulgaria. There's no way I'm staying in Bulgaria. Like, the Kurdish guy was playing in a football team in Bulgaria. He said, you play good stuff, we can go, we can do the trail, and I'm sure they will accept you.
You mean the training?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was happy, I was like, okay, if I can play for it. When I see this, I was like, no way, I'm staying in Bulgaria. There is no chance.
It's like a game of snakes and ladders. Aizen had gotten so far, only to be met by racism and xenophobia that would take him back onto the smuggler's path. But this was a reality for many refugees in Europe. Ever since the peak arrival of migrants from the Middle East in 2015, violence and attacks on refugees have increased sharply. He said the worst racism he experienced was in Bulgaria. And so he decided to continue on towards France. He stashed a few cookies into his pocket from Vina Rampa camp, and with five others, headed to Serbia. Being smuggled in Europe was no different to being smuggled in Iran. They hiked for hours, slept in the forest, then got crammed into a van.
It was first day of Eid, or second day of Eid, I can't remember. We arrived in the capital of Serbia, called Belgrade, a place called Afghan Park, because there are a lot of Afghans. We spend the night kind of walking around and stuff till morning. 8 o'clock, we go to this office, which is for refugees. They register your name and they send you to the camps. I went to the office, say, where are you from? They're like, again, same question. Are you sure you're Afghan? I'm like, what do you mean I'm sure you're Afghan? Of course I am. There was a camp near in Belgrade, but they killed someone in the camp, so they closed the camp and they don't send anyone to this camp.
Instead, they were planning to send Aizen to a camp called Sjenica, which is about 4 hours' drive southwest of Belgrade. But the office decided to wait until a few more refugees arrived, so they could transport all of them together. So Aizen stayed in this registration office for 5 days.
I started doing translation for them because their translator was on holiday. So the office become my friend. All of the office. Like, they just become friend with me because I was doing this job for them.
A few days later, the Kurdish guys from Bulgaria, the ones he was playing football with, also arrived in Serbia. From Afghan Park, they went to the same refugee registration office, where they were surprised to see Aizen working and doing translation for the Serbian authorities. Now that there were more migrants, they got taken to this town called Sjenica in the southwest of Serbia. Aizen showed me on the map.
Sjenica.
It's a really small place, but people are Muslim there.
So it's a small town.
Yeah, it's like a town.
Okay.
So we play football in here.
Nice.
It was nice, not nice, but good, because I was injured and stuff. So
after the break, traveling this far starts to take its toll on Aizen, and the world starts to shut down. Aizen didn't stay in that camp for very long. After a few days, he went up to the north of Serbia to a town called Subotica on the border with Hungary. Subotica is a major hub for refugees. The surrounding Radanovac forest is less than a kilometer from the Hungarian border. And it looks like the aftermath of a music festival. Camping tents propped between trees and trash sprayed across the muddy floor. Crushed energy drink cans, water bottles, cigarette butts, plastic bags. As of now, there are more than 3,000 refugees in and around Subotica, hoping to cross into Hungary. After that, traveling through the rest of the EU becomes easier. It's known as the Balkan route, and that's where Aizen was. By that point, he had traveled through 5 countries already and more than 7,000 kilometers.
There is no chance you will cross by yourself. No chance. Even if you do, every place belongs to a smuggler. If they catch you and you're not from their group, first they will beat you a lot. If they're nice, they will leave you. If they are bad, they will call your family and blackmail to ask for money. If they are bad, they will just kill you.
Choked between these ruthless smugglers and violent border police, refugees paid large sums of money to cross. In this case, either by clinging on to the underside of a moving train, or by sneaking into the back of a freight truck without the driver noticing, and waiting it out until the truck has crossed the border.
The trains are coming, different trains. You go try to Austria, to Hungary, to Germany, different. We spent 10 days, nothing came. And my legs get worse and worse. The smugglers say, okay, yeah, go to camp, because your legs are getting worse and worse. Bought ticket, go back to the camp. 7 days, every day, they give me this syrup, what do you call it? The water thing.
Oh, the IV drug.
Yeah. Every day morning, every day for 7 days for my legs.
Yeah,
because
it was bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. My feet were all destroyed. My hands, feet. That's how we come to Europe.
Yeah.
Aizen's feet were infected, trekking through all sorts of terrain, sleeping in damp places, hiking without proper shoes. He showed me pictures of his feet. They were absolutely ravaged with cuts, bug bites, sores, bruises, infected blisters. Back at the Sjenica camp, the doctors gave him a strong course of antibiotics. Alone and with a very high fever, Aizen stayed in that camp and waited for the infection to pass. Eventually, he went back to Subotica and tried to cross again. But when he was paying the smuggler, a middleman took the money and disappeared. There's always a middleman to go through. Even the smuggler can get screwed by them. The smuggler was absolutely furious.
Nothing changed. I was like, it's not my fault. You told me give money, I give money. But if he didn't pay to you, it's not my fault. He was like, I don't know what to do with you guys. You guys are not paying money. So he was like torturing us for a long time.
Aizen was held in a burnt out building near the train tracks of Subotica. The smuggler kept refugees there temporarily while he arranged for them to cross. But because he couldn't pay his fee, the smuggler kept him hostage for months. He was there so long that he started doing DIY projects in that building, bringing an extension cord and fixing the lights. He had no idea how long he was going to be made to stay there. And just like in Turkey, Aizen found himself working for a smuggler and gaining their trust.
Yeah, there was nothing for me to do because they were not letting me to go anywhere. Not letting me try, not letting me go camp. If the smuggler needs something, he called me, Ridman, come down. I go down, buy him cigarette, bring food for everyone. And that was my job.
Did he get paid?
No, he just bought me clothes. Sometimes he buys me energy drinks. Early morning, I woke up, he called me Ritman. He said, Ritman, come here. I go to him, he said, let's go to the shop. Went to the shop, he bought me clothes. He said, do you want to eat something? I'm like, no, fine. He bought me everything and he brought me back. He bought me shoes.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, thank you. So he bought me everything. Like, he was so nice to me. He was like my older brother because I don't have anyone. He gave everything.
Was he nice?
Yeah, he was nice to me, not to others.
The smuggler called Aizen Red Man because of his reddish hair. It's a little odd to hear the smuggler described so fondly, like an older brother. I can't help but notice how vulnerable Aizen was. He was a teenager, by himself, without any support or money. Aizen stayed like this for half a year. Eventually, the smuggler realized he wasn't going to get his money and let Aizen go to try to find his way to Hungary. He said he'd even show him how to do it, but he didn't promise it would be easy.
So he let me try. I try, they catch me, I come back. Start trying every night. Try, come back, try, come back. He showed me the way one night, he go like this. Every night go there to another place to try in the lorry and trucks.
Every time he tried to cross into Hungary, the police would catch him. The Hungarian border is closely guarded. It's the entrance to the EU, and Hungary's current right-wing government has made it their priority to stop migrants from crossing the border. Border police have been accused of systematic abuse against people on the move. In 2022 alone, they've pushed back more than 200,000 refugees from Serbia, mostly Afghans and Syrians. Meanwhile, Hungary has allowed in more than 620,000 refugees from Ukraine. Aizen kept trying. Summer passed and autumn too. Winter came again. He spent almost all of 2019 being held by smugglers and failing to cross the borders. It got really cold, the kind of cold that seeps into your bones.
It happens in a time that the winter came, where it gets so cold, the train don't come a lot and stuff. So, okay, Ritman, time for you to go to camp. Go to camp, I will let you go. I ask him many times before, he said no, you will escape.
Tired and defeated, Aizen decided to stop trying to cross into Hungary and instead go back to the refugee camp to rest for a while. This was February 2020.
China's coronavirus outbreak. Two major cities are now under lockdown as China races to contain the mysterious illness.
And as the toll surges across the continent, Europe is now the epicenter of the COVID-19 crisis.
Then what happened is COVID started.
The virus has infected nearly 600 people and at least 6...
Quarantine. You cannot go outside the camp. Stay in the camp. Nothing change. Sleep. Wake up. Eat. That was our routine. When the Ramadan come, cook, do Ramadan, play cards. There's nothing to do. And also worry that what will happen to me.
Aizen stayed in Serbia for more than a year. Remember the group of refugees in Turkey that he was guiding through Istanbul? The ones that got stopped by police? That group got deported back to Afghanistan, then tried again. The same route, through the mountains of Iran, into Turkey, and then Bulgaria, and then Serbia. This time, they made it all the way to France. That whole time, Aizen stayed stuck in Serbia. He was there so long that other refugees crowned him King of Serbia. They said this is his land, and he's not going anywhere. I told you what happened to Aizen's feet. It was hard for him to walk, but also to do what he loves most, play football. The physical toll of walking so far from home, in harsh terrain, often beaten by smugglers or border police, all of that adds up. But there's the invisible toll too. A strong warning that this next segment includes mentions of suicide and self-harm. Skip forward 8 minutes if you'd like to avoid it.
My mental health was, how can I say, f***ed up from long time ago. Not the journey or stuff. The pressure of the family, a lot of stress, a lot of pressure in your mind. What I'm gonna do, what will happen, what gonna not happen, will I can work. Like, you have to have a way to help them. If you don't, you're under pressure. Why you're not working, why you're sleeping, you're just born to eat and sleep, that's it. You're lazy, you're like this, you're like that. Ah, okay. I did even try to suicide in Afghanistan once. Not once, two, three times. And I was so young, like I can remember I was like 9, 10 years old when I had the knife, and I'm like, let me see how it feels. Should I do it? Should I not? And I remember I was so young. I put the knife in here and I was like, push it. But there's some things that come to your mind because you get tired, you know. Like, I was asking many times, a lot, that why I born. I didn't ask you to bring me to this life. Like, if I can't, I can't, but nobody cares. It's still the same thing. You think people believe in mental health in Afghanistan? What are you gonna tell them, Dula? Nah, that's bullshit. That's what they're gonna say. And even if you tell them, there's another reason for them to shout at you. So, you don't want this.
The immense pressure from his family in Afghanistan, on top of the injustice of going to adult prison for a crime he didn't commit, it all contributed to Aizen's fragile mental health. He showed me his forearms where he would self-harm.
What is it?
Yeah, the scars where you cannot see it, which is good.
Where?
In here. Yeah, you cannot see it. Because I had it here for a long time, but you cannot see it.
Aizen's already fragile mental health only became worse when he got on the road, and the realities of being smuggled started to sink in. Especially when most of the time he was just waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Being held in terrible conditions.
Day by day, get worse. You don't have anything to do, you just need to stay in a room, like a prisoner. You cannot go out because of the police. Pressure of a smuggler, when you gonna pay, when you gonna do this, when you gonna do that. You feel like a trash in this world. Like, you feel unlucky. You don't enjoy eating, you don't enjoy talking with people. It's just the only thing that you think about is that why you are in this world, why is this happening to me? There are like 8 billion people, why me? For me, football was the only thing that I could enjoy and forgot everything. But sometimes when I was like in a bad mood, even football was like boring and I don't want to do it.
The hopelessness really started to calcify. Add to it the claustrophobia of lockdown. This feeling of being unlucky started to take root. Aizen became convinced that he was the source of the bad luck.
I am the most unluckiest person in the world. I don't think there's any medicine for it. But it's actually like something that sometimes my mind just totally get, how can I say, get empty, feel totally empty. And I feel like I cannot breathe. And I was like this, like don't have anything else to do. And I start crying. And I just wanna do something to. So I don't want anyone to be with me in that situation. That's why I was like, just want to be alone, put the blanket on my head.
Aizen shared with me how he tried to take his own life in Afghanistan and in Turkey too. And then again in Serbia.
I was planning to jump from the building. The main reason that stopped me from doing suicide till now is because haram. Otherwise, I would be already dead.
Although Aizen laughs it off now, I've heard him when he was in one of those fugue states, when his mind was empty, as he calls it. The most recent time Aizen tried to self-harm, he sent a voice note on WhatsApp to a friend. A couple of days later, he told me about it and played me that voice note. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever heard. You can just hear Aizen sobbing and faintly whispering over and over, "I just want a normal life." He doesn't remember sending it or even playing it to me.
You played it for me.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You told me about it and you played me the voice note.
When I heard the voice note, I was like, is that actually me? You know, I ask a question myself because I don't really kind of cry for a lot of things. Like, even if I want to cry, I can't. Like, if people die, it does not make me sad or to make cry for them because it's life, we're all gonna die one day. But when I hear the voice, I was like, is that me crying? Which is weird. Which made me really sad after. I was like, what's going on with me?
Aizen has seen so much of the ugly parts of our world. Violence and death and injustice and pedophilia and injury. The physical and mental extremes he's been through have left a trail of debris that I can't even begin to comprehend. But these days, he's doing better.
Yeah, now I'm fine, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for everything. I'm fine. Which is good. I don't get like the way I used to, but I still feel some blah blah, which is it's fine, it's life.
Yeah, and it's normal to feel sad or angry, but
yeah,
not to do
not hurting.
Yeah, not to hurt others.
Haram. I don't hurt myself now, which is good because I know how it feels when you cannot play football for a long time. Well, I get emotional for a minute.
Yeah, me too.
I was close to cry, but I stopped. No crying.
No, I can cry.
Honestly, bro, I don't like crying.
More than a year after Aizen arrived in Serbia, in June of 2020, COVID restrictions lifted slightly. When that happened, he took the first opportunity to go back to Subotica, near the Hungarian border, hoping to cross. There, the same smuggler was still working. Aizen explained how they'd scout trucks waiting at the border for their specific time to cross into Hungary. The drivers were drunk, or asleep, or both, waiting for their slot. The smuggler would look for the trucks that they can open easily. Even if they made some noise, the drivers are often too drunk or out of it to notice. He'd open the back of a truck, check if he can hide refugees inside, and then close it and lock it again, super gluing the cables to hide the evidence of any cut marks.
He was like, "Ritman, just tonight, go please for me." I was like, "I'm tired, I need to sleep." I was so tired and sleepy. He was like, "Please for me." He opened his bag, "Give me the Red Bull, drink this, you'll be fine."
So after a few tries, they found a truck with a sleeping driver that they opened.
We opened full of tires. All tires. Like huge tires. He was like, "Ritman, this is the best chance." Like, okay. We put all the guys in. And I was going to close the door. He was like, "Why the hell are you closing the door? Go inside." I was like, "I'm tired." He slapped me. I said, "Go inside." So he locked the door. He used energy. The driver woke up. He was with a girl. So the driver with the girl, they start having sex, which was so weird. I was so tired. It was 5-6 o'clock in the morning. So I put my jacket on my top and I said, "I'm going to sleep." I slept. It was 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. My friend say, "Woke up like this. Like, woke up. We cross." I was like, "Are you mad?" He said, "Yeah, we cross." We go. Go. One country, another country.
Aizen had gotten away with it. After a few hours, the police stopped the truck and pulled everyone onto the side of the road.
"We don't know where we are." They say, they ask us, "Do you know where are you?" I was like, "No." They say, "You're in Czech Republic." I was like, "Okay."
Aizen, the king of Serbia, finally crossed into the EU and was in the Czech Republic. He made it into Fortress Europe. From here, the EU's more relaxed border policies meant that they could pass from one country to another more easily. No ladders over barbed wire fences, no border police hunting them with sniffer dogs. He didn't even need a smuggler. Aizen could finally get to France. Remember, he had planned for his journey to take 3 months. 2 years later, and he was only in Czech Republic. We did try to interview the smuggler in Serbia for the series, but he was incredibly difficult to pin down. He no longer deals in human trafficking. He's actually living in Switzerland and gets in touch with Aizen from time to time through temporary Facebook accounts to remind him that he still owed 2,000 euros. Next time on Current Cultures, there's love and sorcery in the air.
Anyway, I sent him some sweets because, it's nice. Nobody knew for Halloween he will be arrested. So, yes, for the first contact, I just wanted to show him I mean it seriously. I really want to help him.
This episode was produced by Al Shaibani and edited by Alex Atak and me, Dana Balut. Fact-checking was by Iman Sharif and Dina Sabri, and sound design was by Munzir Al-Hashim and Paul Alouf. Our team also includes Zena Duidar, Nadine Shakir, and Finbar Anderson. A special thanks to Tahir Shah, the grandson of Sirdar Iqbal Ali Shah, for sharing details about his grandfather with us. And thank you to Anton Stoyanov for his production support. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Okay, what are you gonna do now?
Dinner?
It's 3 in the morning. Okay.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, a bit, not a lot.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.